Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
This Marcus Stroman stuff is kind of interesting to me.
It's a Stro show.
Look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
Looking at the Red Sox dugout and yelling out as he skips into the dugout.
Whee!
When he's turning around to the opposing dugout,
that's tired.
He has his antics and he gets under people's skin.
I know there's a lot goes on between him and the Red Sox dugout all the time.
A pox on your Red Sox house.
He even tweeted that I'm still mad that he didn't pitch in Puerto Rico on the WBC.
Yeah.
Dude, I had the best time in my life with that team and he wasn't part of it. That was probably my highlight of my career.
Who are the two in front of Tom Brady?
As far as all time, I think Aaron Rodgers is one and Elway is two.
Did he, like, just green fly you or, you know, like, have you, like, shine his shoes? Did he not, like, treat you right?
Yeah, yell at me. Curse me out. Make me run.
I was on a radio station on Friday. They were arguing me about how I had Cam Newton in front of Tom Brady.
Cam Newton, really?
And I said, yo, who are his receivers? And they went, oh,
it happened to him.
Exactly.
Right now.
It's been over 2 minutes since there was a pitch in this game.
Right.
Come on, you Norris, do something!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
So we sat here on Friday. We were all excited. The Red Sox had taken 2 out of 3 from Minnesota on the road. This team is getting their act together. See, it's a little slow.
But he's happy now.
Yeah, they got off to a bad start. And, you know, they probably weren't ready. It was a long season last year.
Oh, West Coast
and
trip.
And now they're in the mix. And suddenly they're back home. They play 3 games at Fenway Park. They steal one on Friday night. They blow one on Saturday. And they just didn't show up yesterday. That according to the manager himself. And they're now 18-19 when playing at home.
That is unbelievable.
1 game below 500 at home. Where you have a full stands most nights. You know, most of the seats are full. People are rooting for them. I don't think anybody's been vicious to them this year. If anything, it'll get quiet.
And I know you had those numbers of some of the worst teams, right? Baltimore and Toronto and Detroit. I think
6-7 against those teams.
6-7 against those guys at home, and they got like a .380 winning percentage amongst the three of them.
330.
330?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's to me, it's everything though. And you've seen this team before. I mean, listen, I don't want to just harp on the bullpen, but I'm going to harp on the bullpen. I know the way it is, but with all the inconsistencies in this rotation, the fifth starter has been just abysmal.
Yep.
They give him like 3 innings. Like, Brian Johnson has gave you the greatest fifth start you had all year long on Saturday, and you pissed that one away. But it's been the runners in scoring position, right? I was shocked to see that average-wise, I mean, even though OPS, they're like 7th in the AL, runners in scoring position. So they're an average lineup. You know, batting average, they might be like 4th. But it doesn't look that good. Like, I don't know how they're 4th. Because that's a big reason why they're losing ball games. Defensively, just lack of focus at times. The other day, 1st and 3rd. And throws a ball in the dirt. And Vasquez goes down on 1 knee and it gets by him for a run with 2 outs. 2 outs. You go down on 1 knee on a breaking ball. You called the breaking ball. What'd you do, call a hanger? Did you just not expect it to bounce? It's a breaking ball. This team bounces every breaking ball. Well, just the base running. So it's everything. But with all of that said, all the inconsistencies, this one stat, I don't care about blown saves. I don't care if it happens in the 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever it is. Boston Sports Inf put this out the other day. A list of all the AL playoff contenders and their records when leading after 7 innings. Okay, the Twins, whose Achilles heel is their bullpen. It's not very good. 43 games leading after 7. They've lost 2. New York has lost 1 in 43 games. Houston's lost 1 in 43 games. Tampa Bay has lost 0 games. They are 42-0 when they lead after the 7th.
Now, their bullpen are also their starters, but go ahead.
42-0. Yeah. So these teams have lost 1 or none, right, or whatever. Boston, in 41 games leading after 7, they've lost 7. 7 games. I mean, they've lost 7 games when leading after the 7th.
7!
If you look at the other teams, so let's just say they're like everybody else, and they lose 1.
Right, 2, 3.
Yeah, 1.
Yeah, but
they're
2
games back behind the Yankees. With everything else that is going on, if they had a bullpen, they'd be a game or 2 away from the Yankees.
So I'm curious, so
the teams that are in the hunt, the Oaklands, the Clevelands of the world that are still fighting for that second wild card, first wild card spot, what are their numbers when they're leading? Do they give up leads?
He gave Cleveland. Cleveland's 32-1. Okay? The bottom line is you're a contender. And with all the inconsistencies you've had, if you actually weren't cocky, arrogant, I don't know what you call it, to think you can fix it all or figure it out because you're smarter than everybody else. I don't know what it is, but if you added another arm or two in this bullpen in the offseason, and maybe you didn't lose seven, let's just say you lost two of them. That's five games. You are leading the wild card, and you're three games behind the Yankees right now. And we're screaming about some inconsistencies, but we'll look at their record and say they're right there. You know, and it's been this, and you're right in it.
But you've said it all season long. They lost two guys out of the bullpen, specifically Kimbrel in the ninth inning, who was fairly dependable last year. I get what happened late in the season and in the postseason, but he was dependable to get you to the point of winning 108 regular season games and winning the division. You've never replaced him. You've never replaced Joe Kelly. And so what you did is you moved everybody up the ladder, and some guys now are doing a job in which they've never done it before, okay? High leverage situations, especially Matt Barnes. Barnes on 2 days rest, what are the numbers? What is his earned run average of 2 days rest? So if you're going to pitch in the ninth inning, and you're telling me that you need to have a red mark next to his name on your card the next night, then you're playing with your hands tied behind your back because he can't do it in back-to-back nights. And that is a killer. So I'm looking at it now. There are nine games in the loss column behind the Yankees. Does anybody really think there's any chance of winning the division? Because I think the division is out. Throw it out.
I don't think it matters.
Throw it out.
I don't think it matters.
Well, of course it matters, but it's out.
No, but I'm just saying, so what? So they don't win the division. Big deal.
Well, it is a big deal.
Well, so what?
You move on to the second round.
To me, as far as if you're looking at the season, if you're trying to figure out whether your guys are going to stay mentally focused and stay in it, once they realize they don't have that, they're out of the contention for that second wild card spot, then I think you got a real problem. They can still get the first wild card spot. If worst case scenario, it's the second. So if they make it into the playoffs, it's a one game play-in. With that rotation, with the guys they have right now, forget about Eovaldi coming back. Forget about Stephen Wright. Actually, that wouldn't matter because he can't pitch in the postseason. But he's going to come back. You get to the playoffs, you don't have these problems. You don't have the Braziers and the Sherwarin, or whatever his name is. Sherwarin or Josh Smith of the world.
I got to tell you.
You don't have these guys, you know, ruining things.
Okay. I'm not sure I feel good about playing Tampa Bay, even if you have...
If you play Tampa Bay right now, for the wild card, play them on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
This is going to be one of those teams where they feel more comfortable on the road because there's such a stigma attached to Fenway Park that they don't want to play there.
So what did we learn today when Peter Abraham, who is a typical Red Sox rump swap, okay, writes for the Boston Globe, he usually writes very positive pieces about the Red Sox. He wears the same shoes is David Price. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's by design.
Hi, Peter Abraham from the Globe.
And so today he writes, buy or sell? This might be time for makeover of underperforming Red Sox. And that he's got anything less than repeating as World Series champion would be a failure for the Red Sox. I'm not sure I'd buy that one. Failure if you don't win the World Series. Okay, but if you don't make the playoffs, then that's a different story. That is failure. And then he writes down all of the many options that they have. And I'm shocked that he's writing it because this seems to be the type of guy, the writer, who would be a little bit scared if somebody was going to get pissed off if he's writing a negative piece. Well, see, and he's got to be there every day. I'm giving him a little out there. Unlike us, he's got to be there every single day.
Are you with the same line that Callahan is on where he was handpicked to or maybe fed some direction?
No, I'm not buying that. So I just think that he feels it. You know, he kind of feels that
he's not
knows,
even married to her. This is all hypothetical. It's he not
knows,
even,
but he no, knows he says can, over and over, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. But if it could happen in imagination land, this is what I would. So he would never be held. No one's ever going to be mad at him or have an issue with him because he's like, oh, okay, let's just act like so, if this could happen.
Yeah. So Callahan this morning felt like it was like a trial balloon that John Henry put out there to see if sure all the fans would react.
Before we make a move, let's write an article talking about trading Rick Porcello or J.D. Martinez or Mookie Betts. Find out what the Twitter replies
are
going to be.
Maybe that's crazy. Maybe something to do with it. I don't know. But I think it had more to do with, remember earlier in the year when David Price said, you know, if we don't turn this thing around, they'll trade everybody?
Yeah.
So maybe this was more of an article of the okay to do it to maybe to get the players to look at it and say, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I don't buy John Henry sitting there.
If we
there.
Don't turn this thing around, they will trade all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I don't buy John Henry sitting him down and say, hey, can you write this? We're going to throw a trial balloon out there. But the options are many. Offer Martinez more guaranteed salary to void his opt-out clause after the season. If he refuses, trade him.
Trade him.
Offer Betts an extension. If he turns it down, trade him.
Trade him!
Trade Rick Porcello before he hits free agency.
There wasn't even an or else. It just said trade him.
Even a B-plus prospect is better than nothing. Trade him. See what you can get for Mitch Moreland. Once he returns from the injured list, there's little chance he returns next season as a free agent. Playoff-bound teams would find value. Trade him. Brock Holt, who also is coming up on free agency, offers the defensive versatility a team with postseason aspirations would covet. He's been hitting, too. Of course, he pulled his hammy yesterday. Take advantage of that. Trade him. Be open-minded. Eduardo Rodriguez is under team control for 2.5 years. See what the market is for him. Then there's Jim. Make Jackie Bradley Jr. an extension offer and offer him up if he declines.
Oh, all options,
you know, Glenn,
realistic options, but they're not doing any of them. If they were out of it right now and they were completely upside down, I'd say, all right, the demeanor of all the guys and you know and then how they're reacting to just scuffling and blowing it on Saturday, that's the one that really should really stick in your craw. You're
that's
up 6-0. It's 6-1, and then you end up just completely just losing it. Well, you should have been able to double down after what, in Cora's words, stealing one on Friday.
And then you don't show up on Sunday against a pitcher that already shoved it once and talked trash after the game. And you don't show up against Stroman. But see, to me, I have been on these teams before, and Saturday's loss wears on you. And Saturday's loss might have had something to do with the way you showed up on Sunday. Because when you are winning after 7-8 innings, whether it's the pitcher or the lineup defensively, you do everything right for 7. You have to win that baseball game. You have to. And when you're consistently losing these games, again, 7 losses, when the good teams in this league are losing once, Tampa hasn't lost all year after the 7th inning. You as a player, it just wears on you. It wears on the starting rotation. It wears on this lineup to where you get into the 7th and you're up 4-2 and you look out there and you're like, how the hell are we going to get through this game? And then you lose it.
Okay, Lou, I'll ask you something.
It wears on you, and it can rip a team apart.
Well,
don't believe that no matter how hard you go out there and play this game and kind of lead you have going into that 7th inning, that it could still crumble because you don't have enough. You don't have people out there behind you that you trust to come out of that bullpen to hold
the
game.
And I actually think you're onto something because when does the finger pointing start to happen? When it's 6-1 and you're going against one of the worst teams as far as batting average goes, Toronto. I think it's the worst batting average in Major League Baseball. And then you have this lead and then you have 4 walks in a row. You have Shawarwin who gives up 2 home runs. What was it? Barnes with a couple walks and Brazier with a couple walks.
First 2 guys he faced.
And you're looking at it going,
these
holy
are our guys.
Crap, we cannot get.
Worst thing for
these are our guys.
Worst thing for a relief pitcher.
Okay, so fine.
Walk the first 2 guys.
Yeah, these are our guys we're supposed to trust.
We can't. We have a lead. We have this huge cushion, and we can't close them out.
See, and that's why I see this second line you talk about, because I don't think the first line is, you know, anything less than repeating as world champions is a failure. No, not making the postseason's a failure, but really? If you can't repeat, it's a failure? But whatever. But he says the next line, fair or not, that's the reality considering nearly the entire roster returned from last year's historically successful team. I'm so tired of hearing about this is the same roster. It's not the same roster. They got the same position players in the same rotation, but there's one little piece that they were sort of missing. One of them is Joe Kelly. Okay, you could crap on Joe Kelly all you want, but here we are on June 24th. So last year in the first, whatever it was, April 1st to June 24th, Joe Kelly, all right, had a 2 ERA. He had 14 holds. Guys were hitting .145 off of him. And when he came into the game, the team was 28-5. Okay? You never replaced him. We know the second half he sort of fell apart until the postseason, right? Then he was good. But up to this point last year, he shut teams down. How about Craig Kimbrel? Last year, at this point, Craig Kimbrel had a 2-3 ERA. Opponents hitting .150 off him. He had 22 saves. And when he came into the game, they were 29-3. And this year, who's their best reliever? Barnes?
Yes.
They're 24-10 when he pitches.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me it's the same team.
No.
And out of those 10 losses, point, how much rest did he have?
Up to this point, basically half the year, 80 games, which is where we were last year, where we are now, that you felt like you didn't need to replace one guy, that both guys, their opponents were hitting .150 off of, and both guys whose ERAs were 2.
Yeah,
and you think it's the same team? It's why you've lost 7 games after leading after the 7th. And if you had just lost one of them, you'd be a couple games out of New York and leading the wild card and actually a race that you might actually think you can win the division. It's not the same roster. You thought you could figure it out. You didn't need to replace Joe Kelly or Craig Kimbrel. And you just said, okay, we're good. You know why? Because we'll figure it out. We're smarter than everybody else. We'll just have guys elevate and throw curveballs in the dirt, and we'll get guys out. No, you need some talent, and they lack it.
All right, so let's go in your premise, and that you're right, and that the guys on Saturday said to each other, you got to be kidding me. You know, we go out there, we do what we're supposed to do. The bullpen can't hold it up. And Alex obviously knows this. I think he communicates well with those players, so he hears it. He knows it. What's he going to do? He could sit and talk till he's blue in the face to these guys. What difference does it make? Unless the ball club goes and adds something to that bullpen.
They need 2 guys.
They need 2, not 1. They need 2 guys. Because what you're doing right now is you're playing games. You're bringing up a guy from Pawtucket, okay? You're bringing him up and you're putting him in a high-leverage situation. The day you bring him up, which is unheard of. You bring a guy to give you depth in that bullpen, right? When you bring a guy up the day of, instead they're throwing a guy out there in a high-leverage situation.
Again, because they're short, it's not just about the 7 games they've lost after 7, okay? Because you're short, because you didn't replace these 2 guys that left your bullpen. Now, rather than, you know, when you're down, say, 5-4 because your starter's struggling a little bit, or you're down 6-4, rather than going to Marcus Walden, who was great at that role early in the year, giving you 2, giving you 3, keep putting up zeros because you're down 6-4 and you got the kind of offense that can come back, or rather than going to, like, Hembree in that situation, or maybe even Brazier in that situation, trying to keep the game at 6-4 in the middle part of this game before you get to Workman and Barnes, instead it's Bobby Pointer. You know, instead it's Colton Brewer. You know, instead it's Josh Taylor and, I mean, who else? Travis Lakins. And next thing you know, you spin your head and you're not down 6-4. You're down 9-4. And the game's over. You don't even give your chance an opportunity to put up some zeros in that middle innings. So it's not just losing in the 7th, 7 games after the 7th when you're winning. Now it's a trickle-down effect that those games when you're losing, you can't keep it close enough to come back because the back end of your bullpen is so inexperienced and just lacks it that you're giving games up.
See, and this is since they have such a difficult situation, bad situation going on in their bullpen, you would assume that they couldn't risk losing games by playing bad defense, by not hitting, not timely hitting, critical hitting, clutch hitting, runners in scoring position, a bad base running, bad defense overall. You would think that, all right, if we're going to have a problem, it can only be one problem. If we're a really talented team, we got a bunch of good guys, everybody's, you know, proud of what happened last year, and they all want to do it again. All right, so if we're going to have an issue, it can only be one issue. It can't be 5 issues. It's over and over. So everything gets escalated and compounded because not only do you have the obvious issue being the bullpen, but you also have all these other issues. So, okay, guys, can we just have one issue? And then I guarantee you we'll win more games.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they're going to clean this up.
You can't give it away.
The bullpen is one thing, and they're going to have to do something about that right now. That's why I disagree with Pete Apes. It's not time to panic and make major trades right now. First of all, Martinez, why are you dealing him? Next year, he probably will opt in. Year after that, you've got to be concerned. Maybe Mookie Betts, you think about in the offseason, dealing him away if you can't work out a deal with him. I get that. Porcello, you can trade at the trading deadline if you want, if you're out of it. But to me, you've got to be like four games out of the wild card with a bunch of teams all jammed on, jammed in for that
last
spot. Yeah,
you're too close.
And if you're four games out, then maybe you really have to assess what you've got, especially since you don't have a lot in the minor leagues to help you out right away. Maybe you start to replenish. You already won last year. The people here aren't going to go ballistic if you don't win. But they need to get help right now with the bullpen. But I think you're right, Christian. The problem you've got, they work so hard to do what they did last year, win 108, win 119 overall. It's difficult to come back and do that all over again. You just don't have the desire sometimes because they're doing everything wrong. Everything. That, you know, defensively you're seeing mistakes. On the base pass you're seeing mistakes. Stuff that you never saw last year. This is, even though a lot of the personnel, with the exception of the two Lou brought up, personnel is the same, they're not performing the same way.
See, to me, that's an issue because you would like to think those are little things you could fix. Hey, just be smart out there. Hey, listen, make good decisions. You're all pros, right? Everybody's getting paid. Can you just make good decisions? Don't be a stupid team. The bullpen, listen, guys, they're just not as talented as we would like them to be. So this is what you got. Okay, so let's not make it harder on them.
Well, I would say this. We talk about guys,
no doubt about it,
aren't performing. What offensive players aren't performing?
Right now. Mookie Betts is not playing up to his level.
I would give that, yes.
Benintendi, I think, has been up and down.
He's been good this lately.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, but it's been up and down. Jackie Bradley is up right now.
It's who he is.
Jackie's starting to swing the bat earlier this year than he was.
All right.
Okay, it is who he is. Okay,
right.
What kind of production did you get from catcher last year? What's Christian giving you?
Well, Vasquez's been good.
Right, how about difference. Second base? You know, if you want to say that Chavis is your second baseman, but now Brock Holt's come back, he's swinging it. Xander Bogaerts
been terrific.
Having a better year than he had last year.
How about
Raffy Devers?
Terrific.
Major, so, you know, J.D. Martinez isn't the force, but still, 288, 16, and 42.
Right.
And even Mookie is not great, but still 852. So I would say up and down this roster, maybe Mookie and J.D. have taken a step back, but they're not outs. You know, they're not. Mookie's got to get going. I know the month of June he hasn't been good at all, but the production from catcher, you know, second was a black hole last year. Third base, Devers didn't do this. So it's just, you got some positions that are actually okay. You know, but they can't get the timely hitting.
Well,
the situational hitting.
I agree. It's situational hitting. It's but when you look at your ace is Chris Sale.
Yep.
And you can't have your ace go out there every fifth day and lose games. If that happens, you're in trouble. I'm sorry, you're not a good team if your ace is going out there every fifth day and not winning. And that's what it's been like to this point.
Yep. Now, maybe Brian Johnson on Saturday? I still got to find out physically if they're comfortable with Eovaldi in the bullpen. You know, because I know Alex, we talked about, he said, so Stephen Wright, they can't start him anymore because of the knee. So they figure he's better in shorter stints.
Right.
Okay, but that's a knee thing. So going six innings, seven innings as a starter, five, six, seven innings as a starter, maybe they're just fatigue on the knee, the pounding on the knee. So they feel like for him, maybe two innings at a time out of the bullpen is best. We can get more for him. But that's just because of a knee. It's not an elbow thing, right?
Right.
With Eovaldi, every fifth day getting his arm cranked up, ready to go, might be easier for him than, say, sitting out in that bullpen and say, Nate, get up. We need you. And he gets hot. You know, and then it's like, okay, maybe we don't need you anymore. I don't know, the game turned. Or we need you today. Okay, can you come back on back-to-back days with what he's got going on? Can you pitch 3 out of 5 days with what he's got going on? I don't know. But if Brian Johnson can give you some stability in that fifth spot, he might be able to help you out there. I don't care what they're paying him.
So
still.
So Alex has already told us that the plan is Eovaldi starting, at least for now. Wouldn't that be the way you've got to sell it?
What's going on?
To Eovaldi, I mean, do you think he wants to come back right now and just work in the ninth inning and be a closer?
It's more about physically because, I mean, what's he going to bitch about? He's going to be the highest paid closer in baseball. He's already got his contract. So now that I've signed my deal, how do you want to use me? You want to use me for two innings in the middle of a game? I don't give a rat's ass.
So you think he's going to be fine with it either way?
I work physically. I don't know the wear and tear. It might be harder for him to pitch, like I
initially,
said, 3 out of 5 days
initially.
Or 2 out of 5 days than it is once every five to kind of get your rest, get ready for that one game. And, you know, that might be easier for him. But
So maybe
if
the
you
plan,
can add him out there, then you're still an arm short.
So we'll find out. I would guess they would stretch him out initially, bring him back as a starter, and then if they cannot find that guy outside the organization, then you have no choice, right? You get into August, you get into September. Evaldi's got no choice. You go to him and you say, hey, Nathan, we got no choice here. We need somebody to close out the games. You're the best option we have right now. We think you could be great at it, especially pitching every single day. With the velocity you're throwing with, I don't see any other way out of it. But if I'm the Red Sox, I'm trying to find bullpen help right now. You've got these games. We talk about playing these piss-poor teams. They just lost 2 out of 3 at home to Toronto. You're facing a good pitcher tonight with the Chicago White Sox. You need to win 2 of these 3. Does anybody feel confident about that? Then you get the Yankees next weekend, and they're getting healthy.
Well, you have no indication of what's going to happen. How do you know what's going to happen? Nothing goes the way it's planned.
But I don't feel confident. Against, I don't.
How could you feel confident? There's no consistency.
Some people are looking through it with the crimson
rose colored glasses.
Yes, exactly.
How do things take a turn?
Crimson is the color they call the Red Sox. But yeah, that they're looking at it optimistic. I don't know how you can do that. And then we were talking about that 14-game stretch. Lou was bringing up a good point last week saying they can play a little catch-up here up to the All-Star break, get right within distance, and then they have 14 days in a row in which all they play are the Yankees and Tampa Bay. Well, if you wallow around what you're doing right now around .500, the problem is those 14 games, you better go 10-4 or you're not picking up any ground.
Well, I mean, losing 2 out of 3 Toronto just wiped out what you did in Minnesota.
Exactly.
Because you might as well have lost 2 out of 3 to Minnesota and taken 2 out of 3 from Toronato. What the hell is the difference?
Yeah.
No difference
at
all.
And the advantage should be yours.
You're
at home.
It should be for these next three.
And these are wasted opportunities were just probably Alex Cora pulling his hair out.
Yeah.
Where we need to win these. We don't need to sweep.
What happened yesterday happens.
Yes,
on 162 games, it happens. And if you just held on to a game on Saturday, you would have sat there and said, you know what, it was one of those games. Stroman's throwing the ball real well this year. He just shoved. We didn't show up, but we still took 2 out of 3. And we've won 10 of 12. It would have been 10 of 12. We took them 2 out of 3. No big deal. But given what happened on Saturday, it just erases the whole weekend.
I want to see what their attitude is based on what Lou said, that he thinks that what happened on Saturday affected these players mentally going into the game last night. So how does losing 2 out of 3 to Toronto affect you in the first game of a series in which you should beat this team 2 out of 3? And you're going up against a good pitcher.
Oh, this kid Giolito?
He's been terrific.
He got punched around the other day against the Cubs. He gave up 6 runs. But before that, he had 8 straight starts where he went 8-0 with a .94.
Not bad.
8-0 with a .94 going into his last start in Chicago Cubs, beat him up a little bit.
Wow!
So he's dealing. I mean, he's 10-2 with a .274. So, you know,
if you don't show up tonight.
I know it's like, White Sox. Go beat a good pitcher.
Yeah, but if you don't show up tonight the way you didn't show up last night, you're going to be in serious trouble. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time for Out of Context Quotes from Glenn Ordway. Here's Glenn.
Your mother is a whore.
That's not very nice of you.
Your mother is a whore.
That's not very nice.
What are you talking about? Here's what I love about Ordway Out of Context. It's I have no idea what is he referencing? What is he talking about?
No idea.
Wasn't your mother. Don't worry about it.
Well, whose mother was it?
I don't know.
Your mother is a...
Somebody's mom. Your mother is a whore. Shouldn't do that.
That's not very nice.
I'm also a whore.
It wasn't nice.
If a pitcher doesn't like it, putting it in his ass.
Okay.
Gotta get on that Lou out of context.
That's actually.
What are you gonna do? What, just act like we didn't say it?
Yeah.
Hey, right. This time I'm safe.
Yeah.
Wolfpack of one.
Yeah. Wolfpack. It's all, right. It's all good.
So Cam Newton, one of the all-time great quarterbacks in the National Football
number
League.
Number eight. According number to,
eight best quarterback this Chris year, Sims. One above Tom Brady. Yep.
So apparently he
behind
had a
Matt Ryan.
He had a flight this past weekend from, was it Dallas to Charlotte, I guess? And he had one of those business class seats. He was up front, and he missed the flight. And you know what happens when you miss the flight? You basically bend over and do whatever the airline wants you to do.
Yeah, you know that more than anybody.
Oh, my God. It's not a good thing, all right? So what ends up happening is he has to sit in, oh, my God, I can't believe it, I'm sitting in actual economy coach with
like the rest
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, yeah, with the unwashed on yeah. the back here, you know?
The unsullied.
Exactly. So there's video out there where he actually figures, well, I'm back here in economy coach, but all economy coach is not the same. See, some of these people have these exit row seats, and they get to spread and reach and put their legs. And so what did he do? He offered a guy $1,500
to switch seats with. This story isn't as good now that I know the real story behind it.
I'm with you.
See, I thought he was in first class or didn't have a first class ticket and tried to purchase, or either one, first class or business, okay? It's basically doubled when you go from business to first class. It's like, I thought he was trying to get into the sleeping pods, okay? But it's business class. Either way, I thought he was offering $1,500 to some millionaire, and like that millionaire would think that $1,500 was worth it.
Well, that would be
when
stupid.
When he's a millionaire.
And he wouldn't be the eighth best quarterback in the National Football
League.
But it's
a coach seat.
Dumb.
So he tried to get a coach. He tried
like
to get
row, right?
a guy yes. $1,500 yeah. for to get the extra
which,
row.
Which I think is like 75 extra bucks when you originally make the reservation, right?
See,
when
that I would have done.
Like 75 bucks.
I would have done that.
65 bucks.
I'm in for
listen,
that.
Keep in mind, though, this is a 10-hour flight. A 10-hour flight.
Where was it from?
Dallas.
Paris to Dallas.
Paris.
Flying home.
Paris to Dallas.
Paris. Okay.
It was 9 hours, 15, whatever it was. 10-hour right. flight. So, now, that guy, you know, obviously, because you know, I thought it was in business, thinking, okay, that ticket's yeah. worth more than $1,500 anyways, right?
Who's going to give that up?
But it's not. So, that's right around a little bit more than the price of the ticket. So, we could have just moved back, pocketed $1,500, but it's a 10-hour flight. I don't fault the guy.
Yeah, but I would say
that's why I got this. Why I got this seat.
It would be more understandable of someone in coach giving up his seat for $1,500 because the tax bracket between the first class, business class, and coach is a huge difference. So that guy in business or first doesn't need your money.
No,
I got plenty of it. The guy in coach, maybe he just saved his money for a year trying to get that seat, and then he gets a free flight.
And maybe pockets a couple hundred on top of it.
Sure. So that to me is worth it based on, I don't know, what that guy's tax bracket is. Maybe he saved his money for 2 years to fly to Paris, and now he's on his way back. And $1,500 would, you know, treat him kind of nicely.
You would want leg room, though. You're a big fella. 10-hour
yes.
flight, you want to go back and coach in your knees?
I still, but listen, I don't need the money, but I could easily understand some guy saying, wow, $1,500 is a lot of money for me. If you're trying to convince some guy in first class to give up your ticket for $1,500,
like,
dude, go pound sand.
This ticket's worth $8,000. Go screw.
Yeah, we're gonna
find out. This is like
$10,000.
We're gonna find out tomorrow. It's like a Patriots fan who sat there and said, "I'm not giving it to him."
The worst thing about it,
Bill Sims would have done it.
Yeah, right. The worst thing about it was that so the video
I'll just do it for nothing.
Yeah, the video shows him just basically putting his head down and walking away because the guy's like, "No,
shame."
And he asks again. He asks again, and he's
but
no.
Why didn't he ask all of them?
There were more than one, there was a couple opportunities.
Why don't you just walk up and say, okay, you six people.
And then how about this?
I'll be $1,500 if any of you guys want to switch.
Stop
all
being such a cheap bastard. Go to first class and offer that person there $10,000 for their ticket.
That's what
offer
that's
them
what he
$10,000.
No, that makes sense.
I mean, $1,500, right. Yeah, offer the guy $5,000, right. And I guarantee he will give you your seat.
You know what you do? You go in first class, and you look around, and you see a couple with, let's say, a 12-year-old kid. And you sit there and say, I tell you what, I'll give you $10,000. It'll help in his college education if he lets me take this seat and your teenager moves back into my seat, which is 26D.
Yeah, okay. I know. But, I mean, first class from Dallas to Paris, you know, you're going to be asking some guy who's like the CEO of Fidelity, hey, you want 10 grand from... No, go screw.
Yeah, but it's me, it's Cam Newton. Grand. But you could tell your friends that Cam Newton gave you $10,000.
If you were in first class and I walked up to you, Cam, and asked and gave you $10 million, what would you tell me? I mean,
$10,000. Yes.
What would you tell me, Cam? Would you tell me no?
Yeah, no. People
sure,
who buy
you
those seats,
you want to be comfortable, don't you? When
I
you fly,
you better you better triple it. If you people who give up those seats, those lay all the way down seats, which are awesome, by the way,
they are nice.
There's no way you're going from that to. Random coach?
No, it's yeah, why but you got the seat in the first place.
There are a lot of people that are sitting up there that are turning in their points. Okay, they travel all the time on business. So if they're on vacation or whatever, they're using points to move up there. And if you offer them an awful lot of money, see, I don't think $1,500 is enough to get somebody to move, especially when they know you're Cam Newton.
Well, and that's why it doesn't. It's not as good of a story now when you realize it wasn't for first class or business class.
Gave you the details and it screwed it up for you.
It was coach. Yeah, it was coach. It was a great story at 10 o'clock.
By the way, Lou, I think we have an issue on the show.
What happened?
Oh, no.
I think you and I have to worry about, I mean, because I like doing the show with the three of us. I think it works with the three of us. Fourier has officially thrown his name in to become the Nesson Rinkside Reporter.
Yes. Oh, is that true?
That's me. There's an opening.
Yeah.
I figure I would audition.
He's announced it to the world.
Yeah.
He's a hockey insider. I will say this. You'll probably be as much of an insider as the people who have had that job over the last few years.
Who was the girl that I guess they didn't renew her contract? I don't know.
Alex Kramer. There you go.
Okay, Alex Kramer. She did a great job.
Right.
Okay, but all she did was interview the players. I can do that.
Right.
She's not breaking down plays and cycling the puck.
You would do that.
Puck luck and all that other stuff. She's like, hey, Patrice. Hey, what's up? Hey, come over here. Man. Woo. Are you hurt? I heard you're hurt. I mean, I would be able to not only give good questions to get them to say things they probably didn't want to, I could call them out on some inside information.
Can I just ask you a question? Have you noticed that the last few people that have had that job and the person that knocked Greg Dickerson, not a bad looking guy, not great looking, but not bad looking, threw him out of the job as
the
sideline
girl. So pretty.
So Abby Chin got her job just because she's a woman? Alice Kramer got her job just because she's a woman?
I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
Women have had this job recently. Have you just noticed that?
What about, even with the Red Sox, Gary Streisky, they pushed him out.
They did push him out.
Put that.
So what do you think? What do you think they're more likely
Garen
to hire?
Austin, is that
not you, but let's say any male.
I'm not nearly attractive enough for that.
Or
job.
They hire a female.
Female.
They hire a female.
Nesson always hires females. It's like
it's a
2-year shelf life there. They give you 2 years. If you don't move on to bigger and better things like ESPN or Fox or whatever, they just recycle some other girl in there.
Cheap
is an understatement.
They get you cheap, and then they what they're giving you is they're giving you exposure. And you're right.
Every 15
some
minutes,
some of them move on.
Every 15 minutes, we're going to play the same clips every 15 minutes. I hate that more than anything. Does that bug you more? I hate when I sit there and I turn it on. Unfortunately, sometimes I do because God forbid I miss the last 3 minutes. It's not going to re-air in like another 12. It's like, really? Are we really going to do this
Nesson,
over and over again?
I think your programming is garbage.
I think the only time I do it is if I really miss a Red Sox game the night before. I miss something that happened at the end because I went to bed early. I'll turn Nesson on and
the best
see
thing
the
about
end of the
Nesson
game.
Is Sox in two.
Yeah.
Sox in two.
The problem is now that when they play these 5 and 6 hour games, the Sox in two, they only
There's
do six
Sox
innings.
In two.
They only give you six
Doesn't
innings.
Matter.
I haven't seen Sox in two in a while. Do they edit, like, you know, between pitches, like when Stroman takes a 2.5 minutes, do they just edit or they just not use that inning?
That's a good question. I'm not sure they do that.
Let's do this. You guys counsel me, mentor me, give me some hard advice, hardcore, you know, friendship, Wolfpack advice. Here's Sarah Davis. Now listen to her. Now you tell me if you think I can do this or not.
We're asking you, how long will this series last? Reply A for 4 games, B for 5 games, C for 6 games, or D for 7 games. Jack and Brick, I'm going to go with the fans on this one and say 6 games. Hey, Brick.
There you go.
I think you can do that.
You don't think I can do that?
Well, give us a falsetto voice. Give us a high voice.
Oh! Well, I can't do it. I can't do it. It doesn't matter. All I have to do is, hey, how you doing, guys? Hey,
can I
how long is this series going to last? I don't know. It's going crazy over here. The crowd is going nuts. Do you think A, B, C, or D?
Do you and the team start the second period on the penalty kill? You are actually in the box for that.
in the box for that.
Right. You could do that.
You could do that.
You can
do all of this stuff. You got no shot.
Should I?
No, because you have your producers between periods. And be like, okay, Christian, ask about the forecheck.
They'll give you the questions.
And the power play.
Yep.
Now, if there was ever a follow-up, you'd be like, next question.
No, I don't. There is no such thing as a follow-up. They got to get in and out. They got to, between periods, got to ask them the questions.
Christian, you're better looking than any guy over there, okay? Any guy over there. Maybe Jack Edwards.
Do they
but
have
you're
auditions?
Better looking than any guy.
Is
you
there
have
any
no
way
shot.
You can get me on audition?
No
Tyler, can you get me on audition for Nesson? I mean, we have a lot of power here. I mean, we're connected to the Red Sox, and we're like family.
Yeah. How much did you feed off of that kill? And then, we saw you get that one goal there.
Yeah, you could do that. But you know what? Here's the thing, because we'd all lose if that was the case.
How
because
so?
If you were just, between periods, sideline, then we would lose, the info that you bring.
No,
the
I'd
hockey
be
insider.
So I'd
the trade
like,
stuff, the injury stuff. You wouldn't be able to talk about that stuff.
No, we'd still do it.
And we'd be the losers in all this.
Dale is wired in. Dale's got a lot. He just doesn't use it.
Well, that's what I mean. He can't. So you wouldn't, all this information you get, you wouldn't be able to just throw it out there. So the Bruins fans would lose out.
Why don't you do that? Why don't you ask Dale for a recommendation?
Huh. You think Dale is on the hiring committee?
He's in over there. They like him over there, so maybe he could help you out. You afraid to ask Dale for a recommendation? What do you think he'd say?
I think he'd say, sure.
No.
Christian, whatever I can do to help you.
And he would not give you a recommendation.
Why?
You think they even interview the hirees, or they just send in photos?
Well, what happened to this Alex Kramer? Because usually when somebody is replaced, you kind of hear the murmurs of something.
She's going someplace else.
Yeah. So did she want too much money? Because apparently her contract ended.
I heard she wanted $4.5 million.
$4.5 million.
Right. That's just a rumor.
Just ask for two. Ask for two. It'll be easier.
Patrice, congratulations on clinching a playoff spot for the first time in 3 years for the Bruins. What does this win mean to the team right now?
Yep. She wanted 5 years at $4.5 million per.
I'm done. I'm in.
Hey,
I'm dialed in.
Talking about Nesson personalities, we mentioned earlier, all three of us, I think, disagreed with Dennis Eckersley's assessment of Stroman yesterday, the fact that Stroman was celebrating at the end of the game and Eck took some shots at him. And I kind of agree with what Stroman said, that this is what Eck did. When Eck was such a great pitcher, a Hall of Famer.
Point at you.
It's one thing we loved about Eck.
Yeah.
He showed emotion and he wasn't afraid to sit there and put it in your face.
Eck responded, though, too. He also said he responded.
It was a one line. That was it. Well, a couple sentences.
Tired.
To Rob Bradford, he said, I get it. I know where he's coming from. There was a lot of people who thought I was tired, too.
Right.
Bradford exclusive.
So, Eck is going to be join Will Fleming on the Red Sox pregame show, which is coming up in just a few minutes at 6:10.
Wow, is he
Eck will be on tonight.
So, a lot of inside information, breaking stories.
That's a good get.
I heard the morning show talking about beat reporters, just reporters in general, and how baseball reporters are the most miserable people on the face of the planet. And I would have to agree with them.
It's too long a season.
The season's long.
But you have to
nobody says anything. The games are long. They're boring.
The
you go to the same cities over and over and over again.
Well, you stay there for a few days, which is different from most sports. But the one thing that I think is painful is the players see you every single day. And you see them every single day.
Journalists
and they're sick of you.
Are people, right? You imbecile!
This accessibility every single day.
For how many hours a day?
Oh, my God.
And a couple hours before the game. Maybe even after BP. I don't know if they do that anymore. But, after the game, it's just... And then when the game is over, you're up there in your little booth. And you're writing stories for the next couple of hours. And then you're still traveling with the team.
And Christian, you guys can hide. You come out, you got to talk on Wednesday, right? And then the quarterback and the coaches are talking Thursday and Friday. You don't have to say much.
No, I agree.
So
it's
a short little time they have, they can approach you, and then you're gone if it's a road trip or even if it's a home game. You're in a hotel on Saturday. They had no access to you.
I would also say, in Alex Cora, the amount of times that they have, the requirements that they put on him as far as post, pre, you name it. His interview with Joe. It's insane.
Listen, you got to be ready when you come with those. With me,
I'll be ready, man. I feel sorry for him.
I would be in favor of cutting down the access to the media on a day-to-day basis. I don't think it's good for the media. I don't think it's good for the players, but I want more celebrations out there in the field. If you do something and you hit a home run, pimp it, baby. Go and enjoy it. And a pitch clock. That's all I'm asking for. All right, that's all we need.
A pitch
You're
going to
get neither.
That's all we need.
You need a pitch clock. This is just ridiculous. It's just, it's freaking painful.
By the way,
get a pitch clock.
The NFL is expected to meet with Tyreek Hill. We had heard absolutely nothing about Tyreek Hill until today. They're going to meet with him. The NFL has not ruled on the case. A few weeks ago, the district attorney stated publicly that the criminal child abuse case involving Hill, who is still suspended, is no longer active because nobody would come forward.
So it's over.
And say anything.
So when you say the league is like, we wanted the process to play out, it's played out.
But
so
it
now
does,
it's time to meet with him.
But does that mean that because the district attorney says it's no longer active, that doesn't mean that the commissioner is not going to suspend him?
No, we know that.
So he might get a break and get a shorter suspension. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're going to look at it and
you're
say
a suspension, though.
Because people are going to look at the case and say, come on. Either Tyreek was involved in this or the girlfriend was involved in this. And the recordings we heard are not real good. Talking about recordings, another NFL football player was recorded in a 911 call. It's pretty amazing. We do it coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, the stretch they come.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now. It's Last Call on Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule a free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. Levy and Bell's had an interesting last year, wouldn't you say? It's been kind of fascinating for him. He's going to a new team, a new start, but apparently has a major issue. And apparently he was just minding his own business in a room with a couple of women. And he had to make a 911 call because all hell was breaking loose.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, I had two girls in my house, and I got up, did my normal routine to go work out. So I left to work out for a couple hours. When I came back, they took my money, they took my watch, my jewelry, a couple more things of value out of my house, and I don't know where they're at. I tried to call them before I called you guys. I tried to call them, and they're not answering me, and they're ignoring me.
Okay, what is
don't
the total?
In my jewelry.
What is the total estimated value of the item?
Oh, like $1 million.
Since you said that you know the girls who did this, I need to get their description. Are they white, black, or Hispanic?
Naked. The girls, one is mixed, and they're both mixed.
What was she wearing today?
When I left, she was in the bed. She was in the bed. Not wearing clothes, but she left.
Okay, and the other one. And what was she seen last seen wearing today?
The same way. She was in the bed, too. They had clothes on.
So what are we talking about? The other one? So, they're both naked.
So is there a birthmark, a tattoo? Is there something you can give me so I can identify the two naked women that you left in your house?
What were they wearing before they got naked?
Yeah, because you know they're not going to wear your T-shirt, so they're going to do the walk of shame. What did they have on when you brought them to the house?
It doesn't sound to me like he has.
I remember, I was drunk.
He knows them well, right? He does not know them well to the point where he can just go get his $1 million loss and go pick it up.
Let's be honest. Yeah. It's not the smartest thing in the world, right? Bringing two women home, leaving them in the house, and you just take it off? Do you know them? No, they stole everything.
Isn't that hookup 101? Okay, if you are going to bring them back, make sure they leave when you leave. Hey, you know what? Hey, I don't really know if I know your name or not.
I got early in the morning.
I'm not even sure what your name is.
Hey, babe, just have some bacon and eggs.
Listen, there's some milk in the fridge. I put some cereal. You're good, right? All right, because I'll be back. Don't take anything. I'm watching you. I can trust you, right? Sure, Daddy. Okay. Sure, go ahead.
Come on.
They're going to raid more than your refrigerator.
$1 million?
Sure.
Do we really believe it's $1 million?
I do.
Or is this, you do? Or is this one of those things where he's sitting there going, I'm going to have to deal with insurance after this. It was $1 million.
These guys, he probably has one chain. It's probably worth $500,000.
Well, they also said cash. So he obviously had a bunch of cash. It just, I guess, lying around, right?
Yeah, I guess
lying around.
Yeah. Under the mattress.
What is the total estimated value of the items?
Oh, like $1 million.
Like $1 million.
Oh, cash, jewelry. I think he said other things, too, right? Like, I don't know if they stole.
What a
freaking.
I mean, but calling you know, 911 is a good idea because now there's a record. Actually, were, you know.
Well, wait a minute. He said he called them first, and apparently they didn't answer. So then he had to call 911.
Yeah, see, this just sounds like when you put senior on your back, you're just bragging that you had sex. Now I want everybody to know you had a threesome.
Right. That's what it is. That's unbelievable. All right. Julian Edelman, we mentioned that. He has a documentary coming out on Friday night on Showtime.
Okay, here we go. I'm Julian Edelman, and I'm going to am I looking at the camera? I'm a teammate. What is it? And this is my story about me getting back on the field. Are you serious here? This is a f***ing joke.
Wait, so that's it? It's just him. Pumped? It's about last year, him rehabbing?
Little outtakes right there, you know?
But that's it, though.
That's not the entire documentary, no.
No, but it's a documentary just about his return from suspension, him working out, returning.
It's about him.
Becoming
it's about
the
his
MVP.
Life. It's about his life. It's about his life.
Hey.
What's the matter? You're not interested in watching this?
What I don't understand why you're dumping it on a Friday.
I'm Julian Edelman.
I'm watching this thing.
I don't get it. I'll DVR it.
Well, Showtime's not willing to put it on a Sunday night because they've got more interesting shows on Sunday night.
Monday night. How about Wednesday night? How about Thursday night? How about Tuesday night?
How about
you dump
Friday,
it on a Friday night?
Well, they'll play it a million times, Lou.
And a week before 4th of July. So it's a Friday dump. Yeah. Usually, most people... You know, release their bad information, their bad stories.
Where would the Tom Brady documentary be dumped?
Dropped? Thursday night. Thursday?
Please.
Monday? Any day?
Right.
Well, yeah, he's a bad example because
Sunday.
You can
Sunday
drop
night.
Any
they
day.
Would move all those other shows out of the way.
But what else has Brady done that Edelman has. Actually, Edelman has done everything that Brady has. What has he done so far that. What has Brady done that Edelman still needs to do? I saw that Brady was playing golf with Huey Lewis. I saw that picture come out. So maybe he should play golf with Maroon 5?
Oh.
Like the whole band?
Sure, the whole thing.
Yeah. Kenny Chesney? No, it's the country. He's not cool enough. No.
So wait a minute. Are you just telling me that you just think that Jules is doing this because he just wants to do what everything Tom Brady
does? I think there is a script.
There is one. Maybe the network.
Yeah, you go through the pattern.
I mean, there is a pattern.
There is. Everything he has done in one way, shape, or form, basically Edelman has, I want to say, copied.
I'll give him credit. At least he's not patterning his life after Levy and Bell. Everything that Levy and Bell does.
Say 911, what's your emergency?
Kick him out.
Hey, I had these two chicks that I brought home from the club last night. They were butt naked. They stole all my stuff. How, Vince?
That's bad.
At least it isn't. You know, it could be a lot worse, but no. They robbed him. Took all of his money. And his gold
chain. Dollars. So we haven't heard any update on the story? They get it back? They find the women? No?
No update, but I did see Julian Edelman did tell TMZ he's happy to show his father's side in the new documentary, same as TB12.
Okay.
I think this is going to be good. You guys sound very suspicious of this one.
I think this documentary
is interesting.
I think it's going to be interesting. Almost like they're just dumping it on a Friday night.
Yeah, but it's going to be, you know how it works with cable. It'll be on a million times. Watch it on the Showtime Latin channel. You'll see it a zillion times. You will. You'll see it a zillion times. Hey, you can join everybody at Suffolk Downs the weekend of June 29th for live racing. See you there. Mudd will be there, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be there.
You want to stand by because Will Fleming interviewing Dennis Eckersley. We talked a lot about him on today's show. So we'll get X side of the whole story coming up next. And then we'll be back tomorrow, 2 p.m., to do it all over again. We'll see you there, fellas.
It's over. We suck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.